Before starting, I would like to ask the blessings from each one of you, even from little Gopa, so that I may say something useful to all of us, and that it might be purifying and somehow useful. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Jagannath Paradev Subhadra Maharani ki, Shri Shri Gauranita ki, Gaura Premanande. So today we are reading from chapter 2, text 72. And it is the last text of the second chapter. So you can repeat after me. Esha Brahmi Stiti Partha Nainam Prapya Vimuhyati Sistvasyam Antakalepi Brahma Nirvanam Richati Nirvanam Richati. Someone would like to read. Esha Brahmi Stiti Partha Vainam Prapya Vimoyati Stiti Santa Antakalapi Esha Brahmi Stiti Partha Nainam Prapya Vimoyati Sitvastam Lantakalepi Brahma Nirvanam Richati. Esha Brahmi Stiti Partha. Kalepi Brahma Nirvanam Richati. Okay, thank you. I would like to read directly the translation, if you don't mind. That is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can attain and one can enter into the kingdom of God. Thank you. I would like to read the verse before also, because this is the continuation of the text 72, so that we know what we are speaking about. I will read both together. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. That is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. So it's a very short purport, so I would like everyone to pay attention. One can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once, even within a second. Or one may not attain such a state of life even after millions of births. It is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. Katvanga Maharaj attained this state of life just a few minutes before his death by surrendering unto Krishna. Katvanga Maharaj is, he was a great king who was being requested by the demigods to fight for them. And because he was so brave and they were so pleased by him that they gave him a benediction. And he said, I would like to know when I'm going to leave my body. And they said, the next moment. And as soon as he knew that, he completely became Krishna conscious and attained perfection by becoming Krishna conscious in a moment. Nirvana means ending the process of materialistic life. According to Buddhist philosophy, there is only void after the completion of this material life. But Bhagavad Gita teaches differently. Actual life begins after the completion of this material life. For the gross materialist, it is sufficient to know that one has to end this materialistic way of life. But for persons who are spiritually advanced, there is another life after this materialistic life. Before ending this life, if one fortunately becomes Krishna conscious, he at once attains the stage of Brahma Nirvana. There is no difference between the kingdom of God and the devotional service of the Lord, since both of them are on the absolute plane. To be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord is to have attained the spiritual kingdom. In the material world, there are activities of sense gratification, whereas in the spiritual world, there are activities of Krishna consciousness. Attainment of Krishna consciousness, even during this life, is immediate attainment of Brahman. And one who is situated in Krishna consciousness has certainly already entered into the kingdom of God. Brahman is just the opposite of matter. Therefore, Brahmi Sthiti means not on the platform of material activities. Devotional service of the Lord is accepted in the Bhagavad Gita as a liberated state. Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Therefore, Brahmi Sthiti is liberation from the material bondage. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has summarized this second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as being the contents for the whole text. In the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matters are Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. In the second chapter, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga have been clearly discussed, and a glimpse of Bhakti Yoga has also been given as the contents for the complete text. Omagyanati mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshur minitamyena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So it's a very beautiful verse. There is lots to say. Actually, this is my first Bhagavad Gita class. So please pray for me. So there are some qualities that we require in order to be purified and thus enter into the kingdom of God. So a person whose desires for sense gratification has been reduced and these desires have disappeared, that person is self, it has understand the real self, the real nature of ourselves. So when a person is has stopped to identify with the body, with the mind and senses, what happens is that the person starts realizing the real position. It's so actually difficult to speak when everybody is like everywhere. I would like you both to come here. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Thank you. I would like to see everybody. Thanks. Please forgive me.
That's okay. You always speak though.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, when we identify with our real nature, we can transcend these bodily necessities and the demands of the senses and the mind. So, by not listening to the senses and the mind, we can transcend the desires for sense gratification. So the sense gratifications is there only when we allow, when we fan these desires, when we fan the senses. It's like when we have a fire and we fan it, and more we fan it and more the fire is increasing and increasing. So if we listen to the demands of our senses, what happens is that the desire is over and over increasing like a fire. And we can feel how sometimes these desires are just burning within ourselves like a fire. And we feel like until we don't satisfy this desire we had, this fire is keeping on burning. But what we can do is to learn a process by which we can help this fire to diminish, this fire of lust or anger or pride or any disqualification or any anarthas. And also, Prabhupada says in the translation, any person who has given up all sense of proprietorship. Proprietorship also comes when someone is identifying with the body in terms of I and mine, and we think everything belongs to me. And this comes when we are ego-centered. We put ourselves in the center and Krishna is somewhere else, and we don't even take him into consideration. And this is when we think we are proprietor of something. And in this case, I will speak after also of the six anarthas and about Sita Devi. And in this regard of proprietorship, what Ravana does is to kidnap Sita, and he wants the goddess of fortune for himself, for his own enjoyment. And that's actually what we also have the tendency to do. Ravana is also within ourselves. He was definitely a great demon, and he is the personification of lust, and we do have this demon within ourselves, because we want to engage the goddess of fortune, which. She's Sita Devi, but also like the material nature, because Radharani, her expansion in the material form becomes Maya Devi, and we are trying to exploit the material nature. We are trying to exploit Krishna's energy, because this female potency is actually the inner potency of Krishna, and we are trying to exploit her for our own personal sense gratification. So that's why. A person who has given up all sense of proprietorship, only this person can attain real peace and thus enter into the kingdom of God, if we have this consciousness. So a person who is free from desires and proprietorship and false ego, which is the false identification of ourselves with the body, then what happens is that we have a kind of consciousness where we can attain, we can look up to Krishna consciousness, and by first of all taking away all these anarthas from ourselves, we are coming to our real identity. And it's a natural process. When we come to our real identity, which is pure, It's like a diamond. It's pure. And when it is purified, it's shining. And what happened is we just realize who we are and we understand our eternal relationship with Krishna. And sometimes we just by seeing a person, we can if the person is cultivating bhakti yoga and it's a sincere person, just by seeing the person, just by talking to the person, we can immediately get the connection with the person and understand that this person has a pure heart. And we can see this, it's not just history, we can see even nowadays when a spiritual master comes and the person is really sincerely dedicated to Krishna consciousness, and we can see just by being with the person how we can feel this connection and understand the purity of the person. So in the same way, when we also get in contact with our real self, we can understand Krishna. We can understand how we are actually in love with Krishna and how actually we are servants of Krishna and how we actually want to completely dedicate ourselves to Krishna. And in regards to the spiritual master, I was thinking sometimes when a person is so pure, what happens is our Krishna consciousness is just over increasing. Is we feel all our anarthas are exploded and they are out of the way and we don't even remember we ever had a conditioning. We just feel our chanting is so good and our consciousness is so good and we just want to serve and we just want to be Krishna conscious. And this is because we got the chance to associate with a pure devotee. And we do have these pure devotees even in our movements. And sometimes Prabhupada says when a person, even in the purport, he says that when a person is engaged in devotional service, it's like being in the spiritual world. There is no difference. If you are practicing devotional service, you are in the spiritual world. So in the same way, a spiritual master who is self-realized and has this connection with Krishna, when we are with this spiritual master, we feel like we are in a holy dham. We feel like we are in a spiritual world. We feel like we are not identifying with the body anymore. And it's such a pleasant feeling. And sometimes we feel committing our whole self. Yes, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And just chant, focus, and just serve devotees, and just be Krishna conscious. But then what happens is when the spiritual master goes away, we are again with ourselves. And all our conditioning are coming out, and we have to deal with them. Which is great, because we are having a chance, an opportunity of purification, and Krishna is giving us some glimpse of the spiritual world in order to increase our eagerness to go for it. Let's go for the spiritual world. Do we really want to go to the spiritual world? When we really feel this purity in our heart, and we feel this connection to Krishna, there is nothing else that could really interest anymore. But funny enough, when the material energy is covering us, we forget all this. We forget all the experiences, the spiritual experiences that we had. And it's like being intoxicated. If we take any substance or we drink something or any kind of intoxication, we just forget. We forget our identity. We forget what we are doing, why we are doing something. And in the same way, Maya is such an amazing devotee that in order to allow only qualified people to go back to Godhead, she is intoxicating us. She is influencing us with this heavy and intense material energy in order to keep us here, to check out how much eagerness we have to get out of here. So it's actually up to us to take awareness and understand, do I really want Krishna? Do I really want to purify myself? How much do I really want to go back to Godhead? And for me personally, I don't have this desire to go back to Godhead, but I do have a great desire to preach. And thank God in the test, Prabhupada was saying, if you do devotional service, it's like being in the kingdom of God. and which is great. So we actually have the process. We have the chance to go back to Godhead. We have so many varieties of devotional service, and we can just understand our nature and engage ourselves according to our nature to whatever we like and just enjoy it. Krishna loves to see us happy. So whenever we do something, we are just happy about it, and we do it. And how do we become happy if we are full of desires for sense gratification, if everything is centered around ourselves? And how can we become happy when we want to exploit Krishna's energy and use it for our own purpose? And how can we be happy when we are completely identifying with the body? It's just impossible. So the human being in itself, because one of the characteristics of the soul is anand, which is bliss, we are looking for happiness all the time. Whatever the TV or the society is like turning around is to gain happiness somehow or the other. But they are completely misguided, unfortunately. They are trying. What they see is the body, and they are just trying to get as much as possible from the body. And they can't. And what we can see from the society is a whole degradation, a huge advancement towards a big destruction. So yeah, it is an advancement, but it's like going, when you just fall down a pit, like a big pit, And you're just going higher and higher and higher, and more you go higher, more the fall down is higher, and you just crash and you just destroy yourself. And this is where the society is actually leading us to. But we do have guidance. We do have this chance. We have the path. We have Prabhupada with us, and we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have Lord Nityananda, we have the whole parampara, and we have so many devotees. We have Sadhu Sangha. And this is amazing. We have so much mercy around us. And the only thing we have to do is to have the desire to get this association, to really use this opportunity that we have in order to purify ourselves and get away from all these desires and false ego and self-identification in order to become qualified and free from all these things, so that in the hour of death one can enter into the kingdom of God. And because if our consciousness is in a certain way, then that's where we can go at the time of death. And there is also verse 327. I'm sure you know the verse. Prakrite kriya manani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. So it says the spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. So by identifying ourselves with the body, actually we are just being driven by the energy of material influence, and we are not in the spiritual plane. So in order to be able to transcend, we need to take up what Prabhupada gave us. And it's actually a very simple process, but in the same time it's very difficult. And why is it so difficult? Because we have so many anarthas within ourselves. And there are six main anarthas. Which are these six anarthas? Someone knows? Six anarthas. You can say one by one. In Sanskrit and English. Somebody? Say again? Envy, okay. Okay. Anger, yes. Very good. Yes. Very nice. Very good. So we actually have these six anarthas called Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya. And these six anarthas are personified in demons, six very, very powerful demons that were originally the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha. So we are speaking of great personalities. These are Jai and Vijay. Because of a curse occurred by these three little boys, which were actually great sages, the four Kumaras, they were being, Jai and Vijay, they were being cursed, and they took the forms of six demons. Yes? It's in Sanskrit or English? English. It's lust, envy, anger, which is also connected with madness, greed, illusion, and arrogance. This is a different... I heard this from Radhanath Swami. And so I was hearing in this lecture how Hiranyaksha is connected with loba, greed. And it said that the greed is the foundation of all selfishness and all unconsiderateness. And he was so greedy that at a certain point he collected all the gold from the whole universe for himself. And this amount of gold in the same place made the whole world sink into the ocean. And that's when Varahadeva appears and takes up the earth and brings it back. And why did Krishna take the form of Varahadeva? It's a boar. And when I was in India, my uncle, he was telling me, this is such a nonsense that God can take such a horrible form like a boar. But I thought it's so amazing actually how Krishna can even take a form of a boar. And there is a reason why he took the form of a boar. Because in order to take back the earth from this dirty and filthy place, he had to take this form of a boar in order to do that. And so this is Hiranyaksha, and then we have the brother Hiranyakashipu, which is... He is the personification of arrogance, and he thought everything was due for him, and he was, you know, everything, everybody had to surrender unto him, and we know the story of Prahlad Maharaj also, that his own son, he was the one, only one who didn't actually surrender to him, and thus he was being killed by Nrisingadev. And we see, as I mentioned before, Ravana, he's representing Kama, lust, because he wanted the wife of Lord Ramachandra for himself, for his own enjoyment. And we have the brother of Ravana, who is Kumbhakarna, and which is represented by illusion or moha. And why is he being represented by illusion? Because the only thing he would always do was eating and sleeping. And we do have experience of that. Sometimes we just feel like we don't want to do anything, just sleep and just eat and nothing else. Or watch movies, I guess, in these days. This is illusion. And it is actually a very big, huge illusion. And people were so afraid with Kumbhakarna that only Lord Ramachandra was able to kill him. And this is what can happen to ourselves also when we are entering into such an illusion. What can really help us? Can we rely on our own strength? No, we can't, because these are big demons within ourselves. And what we need to do is to take full shelter of the Lord, and thus only the Lord can conquer these demons and allow us to be free from these anarthas. And there is Dantavakra, who is representing madness or anger. And then in the end we have Shishupala, who is representing envy. And since his first word after birth was a blasphemy of Lord Krishna, he was so envious of Lord Krishna, and he was constantly, and thus he was being killed by Krishna himself. So we can actually, if we are really sincere and introspective, we can realize that we do have these demons within ourselves, and some period of time these demons are coming up in a certain way and completely damaging ourselves and pulling our consciousness down, and our Krishna consciousness seems to be dragged down. And that's the time where we need to fully take shelter of Krishna. How do we take shelter of Krishna? We take shelter by following the process, by taking shelter of a spiritual master, of taking shelter of the devotees, because Krishna is within the devotees. Krishna is constantly guiding us. He's constantly trying to speak to us, but we are not able to listen to him because we are so covered. And these six enemies are so big. And sometimes we even get affection for these demons, and we just don't want to let it go. Who wants to let go of lust? Or sometimes the feeling of the adrenaline of the anger or envy. Sometimes we just feel, it's okay. I want it. I need it. It's protecting me. And how can I leave it? What other attachment could I have if I leave these things? And we are so attached to these six anarthas. Yes. It's Dantavakra. Yeah, together. Yeah. But now comes the interesting point. Jai and Vijay, they accepted the demon form for 3 lifetimes, because they didn't want to be separated from the Lord for too long. But here happens something. They after they take the body of these 3 demons, 3 for Jai and 3 for Vijay, they voluntarily come back as demons, but this time as the personification of all the 6 demons, all the 6 anarthas all together in the body of Jagai and Madai. And they voluntarily come. Why? Because they knew about this amazing pastime of Lord Chaitanya taking place, the most merciful avatar ever. So they decided to come down to earth again and take the form of Jagai and Madai, who were the personification of all these demons. And we can see how Lord Nityananda is even more merciful than Lord Chaitanya, and how he was being attacked by them, and even though he just begged them to please chant the holy name of the Lord, just preach, please. And he was just preaching and just, please take the holy name of the Lord. Just love Krishna. Just become Krishna conscious. And he was just concerned about that. Just let me please Lord Chaitanya. Let these people become Krishna conscious. And this is exactly the mood we should be trying to develop. The mood of Lord Nityananda, the mood of giving the mercy to others, because we did get this mercy, and we are no one to have gotten this mercy. We just got it, and we shouldn't be just holding this mercy for ourselves and keeping it for ourselves, but we should be ready and willing and eager to share it with every single person. Like Lord Nityananda, he would pay obeisances and beg people, please chant the name of the Lord. Please chant the name of the Lord. And he's the Lord himself. And it would be so nice if we could follow in his footsteps. And we are not alone. We have the whole parampara. We have Lord Nityananda personally coming with us when we are preaching. Lord Chaitanya, he's coming with us when we are preaching. Because that's what they want. That's their desire. And so they are all supporting us in this great mission. And we are all part of the Chaitanya Leela. Sometimes we just read it in the book, oh yes, that's so amazing. But no, we are part of the Chaitanya Leela. We are here, we are present, we are in this amazing preaching movement. We are followers of Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada has spread the holy name throughout the whole world, and the prophecy of Lord Nityananda has come true. We are part of the Chaitanya Leela. So let us try to be aware of this and try to really purify ourselves, get rid of all these anarthas that we have, and get the right consciousness to become Krishna conscious, and engage in devotional service, not with the body or in a superficial way, but with the self, understanding the value of devotional service, of why we are doing and how to do it, the quality of it. The quantity would count as well, but the quality, that is the most important thing. As chanting, we can chant as many rounds as possible, but we are looking for the quality, we are looking for the connection with Krishna. And just by such simple process, we can attain Krishna consciousness, we can attain Krishna and love Krishna, and completely fall in love with Krishna. Oh, it's... we're coming late. Okay, I would like to just say one more sentence, that Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful avatar, and he's personally here with us every day in the holy name. Every day we are having the chance to associate with the holy name, with Mahaprabhu. So every day before chanting, we can just pray to him and ask him to reveal into our heart and to purify ourselves and to deliver us, how he did it with Jagai and Madai. Because the secret is that we are Jagai and Madai. We are the personification of all these six demons, and we are Jagai and Madai. And we do have the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. So it's just about to grab this mercy and make it ours. And the last verse, we can all recite together. Harer nama, harer nama, harer nama eva kevalam, kalo anasti, karivanasti, eva nasti ganmita. So, thank you very much. If there is any question, comment, correction, or chastisement, please feel free. Yes. Jagai and Madai?
Yeah.
Oh, who is who?
No.
Yeah. Wait. So, Jai and Vijay took three forms. So they took Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Yes, and then the other two are Dantavakra and Shishupala. But if you see, they are already six. And I always thought Jagai and Madai were part of those. And today I had this brilliant, you know, lecture where I heard that Jagai and Madai actually were apart from it. And because they just wanted to feel the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and they came voluntarily as demons. Any other questions or comments? How long should the class be going on? Until this time? Okay. So they come in. Okay, I can go on. Wow, there are so many things I didn't speak about. Okay, so it's said in the that we can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once, within a second. And I was hearing a lecture where it was said that actually it's not really possible to become Krishna conscious in a moment, because it's a gradual process. It's a process where if we think about it, we have been here since many, many, many lifetimes, and we are packed with filthy stuff, and we have to uncover all this conditioning that we have. So it is a gradual process. It will take time. to purify ourselves. And recently, when I was in Italy, I was making fire for the house to make it warm, and it was very interesting experience, because I was noticing how to make a fire. You put first little sticks, and then it starts getting the fire, and you wait for it to get the fire. And after you put a little bit, the woods should be a little bit bigger, and then a little bit bigger. But if you put a huge trunk on it, the whole fire is extinguished. And then I got a little realization out of it. This is exactly what happens in spiritual life, because the fire of bhakti is there, but how do we enlighten it? If we put a big quantity of thing, what happens is it just finishes. Maybe in a moment it can seem that we are keeping up our spiritual life, but we just crash down because we are not cultivating the process gradually in a proper way. And if we give to the fire exactly what we need on the right time and the quantity and the quality, what happens is the fire becomes very powerful and potent. So that's what I was Radhanath Swami was speaking in the class, that it's a gradual process. It's like a disease. If we take a medicine, we need to heal up. It takes time to heal up. Well, now we have certain kind of medicines that you just take something and it seems it healed you completely. Meanwhile, it has destroyed many other things. But a real healing process will take time. It is a gradual process, and the same thing happens with our spiritual life as well. But there is one thing to say, and that makes a big difference, is we can become Krishna conscious in an instant, and we can see that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here or when Krishna was personally present. And that is to show the power of the mercy of Krishna's presence. So in one instant, he can make a person, a very sinful person, into a Krishna conscious person. And this is the power of Krishna himself. And now we are not alone, and we have the devotees, and so through the devotees we can get this mercy and become Krishna conscious, even if Krishna is not present in the same way. The effect that we get is the same. Krishna was able to transform people in one instant, but we can achieve the same through the devotees in a longer period of time, but that doesn't matter because the effect is the same to become Krishna conscious. And okay, I end up here. I was just continuing waiting for the kirtan. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.